Tonight I want to share a teaching with you entitled, Running on Empty. I'm not encouraging you to do that, by the way. You know, in the Scripture, sometimes we drop into passages and we find people running on empty. You remember Elijah? He faced off 850 false prophets of the groves and of Baal. Called fire down from heaven. And a tremendous victory that ended a 3-year period of drought. And then he supernaturally is anointed to outrun basically horses. And then he receives the message that Jezebel, the queen of King Ahab and Israel at the time, when he heard those words that she was after him to kill him, he ran into the wilderness. And we find him there basically saying, Lord, please just let me die. Now, I have a teaching that I've done in the past. It's been a number of years called The Battle You Fight After the Battle You Win. And it's from this passage. And it's primarily a message that I share with pastors. But we see that happening in Elijah's life. You know, he just had a great victory. And now he's just asking God to let him die. I will pause a second and say that can happen in our lives. When we get big breakthrough and, you know, our adrenaline's pumping and prayers are being answered. And then, like, we get hit out of nowhere and we just like, man, you know, where's all that glory? Where's the fireworks? Well, Elijah found himself after that running on empty. He needed God to do something to get him back on track. And God did, by the way. God did some pretty neat things. He used ravens to feed him. He sent an angel to it touched him and told him, to get up and eat and feed him, and did that twice. And then he said, I'm going to give you strength for a journey. And he goes 40 days and he's in a cave. God meets with him and reminds him, hey, you're not the only one. There's 7,000 more of you out there that have not yet bowed their knee to Baal. And so he recommissioned him, and he goes and takes care of that Jezebel business, and she was no more, and the dogs licked up her blood. That was prophesied anyway. And then he goes and anoints his Elisha, who would be his follower, and puts a new king in place. So that's Elijah, mighty man of God. But he knew what it was like to be running on empty. And perhaps, and I believe more than perhaps, there are folks here tonight, you're in that place. Because I know the Lord strongly laid this message on my heart. I had some other things in mind, but it got shifted today. So that means somebody's here that needs this message. And we probably all need some of it. But I just pray that it blesses you tonight. I'm going to use a very familiar passage of Scripture to those of you that have been in Word a number of years, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. We use it often, but it's an invitational passage where Jesus is inviting us to get something that we often need. I'll share that with you. Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary. And by the way, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation for this. Just a little different because I know all my life I've used the King James Version, New King James Version. So I'm reading it different for that reason. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Beautiful and powerful passage of Scripture here, and the imagery that he's using, the promise to give us rest, the Greek word anapazo, just to be able to relax and let your body be restored. He talks about you need rest for your soul. We'll be talking about that a little bit. And he says, let me teach you. Take my yoke upon you. And the yoke's when you're bound to something. And basically Jesus said, you know, get out from under that religious harness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all that teaching where you can never do enough, you never measure up, and the finger's always pointing at you and you always feel under judgment and you always feel criticized. You need my yoke. Let me teach you. I am humble. I am gentle at heart. Humble and gentle. That's Jesus. And you will find rest for your souls. So here we see Jesus said, if you can just learn from me what I want to teach you, my instruction, the result will be that rest will begin to fill your inner life. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. You know, other places talked about the burden that the religious leaders were heaping on the people. One of our values here at Grace House is we don't want to guilt and shame people to do things out of obligation. We want you to do them out of joy in your heart to serve Jesus. You know, we want people to be here because they want to be here, not because they're going to be slam dunked if they're not. Jesus said He was humble and gentle, and His yoke was easy, and the burden that He requires is light. And I really believe He's speaking particularly here about our relationship with God. Because there's a lot of hardships, as I preach Sunday in the Christian. There's some tough stuff you have to deal with because you are a Christian. But here He's saying the true relationship with God is like this. And He describes that. So, if you're here tonight and you're running on empty, then I want to share a number of things with you. And I'll try to move along. I've got a fuel gauge up there because that kind of, I think that's a good object lesson for us. Mickey and I look at, when we see that in our car, we have a different view of that. Now, this is just the truth. This has happened numbers of times throughout the years. Now, my view is that when it gets on about a quarter of a tank, I'm looking for a filling station. I don't like sitting at home and not having gas if I'm called to go somewhere. But her yellow light can be shining. And she's laughing with me, and I'm grateful she is. I'm going to be safe when I get home. Her yellow light can be glaring at you. Oh, I got plenty. You know? And it's just like, I can't live this way. You know? So we view being on empty differently. Well, sometimes, you know, it gets low because we're not paying attention. You know, most of us have done that. You're pulling in your driveway and you look down, oh my goodness, I just went by 3 service stations 10 minutes ago and I'm on empty. Sometimes you get on low because you're too busy. Well, I know it'd be good to, I need to get some gas, but I just really don't have time. And sometimes we find ourselves on low because we get too far out away from a refill place to do anything about it. So there's even in our spiritual life, there's different reasons that we get to the place where we're running on empty. Now, the Bible says, let me test you. The Bible says, let me use a big 12-cylinder theological word, the trichotomous nature of man. All right, I got that out of the way. There's 3 parts of our being, according to the Scripture. You primarily see 2 in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, we see a division of our inner life. And what are those 3? Okay, I heard body, soul, and spirit, and spirit, soul, and body, so you're all right, okay? Spirit, soul, and body. So we know what it's like to be physically depleted, right? An athlete, I remember when I played football in high school, you know, especially summer practice. I mean, it'd be hot. And then our practice field was down below the school, which was up on a hill, and they called it Death Valley. And there was this huge hill, and the coach would make us run up and down that thing number of times after practice. And there were some times when you didn't think you were going to make it up that last time to get to the locker room to get in the showers. So we know what it's like to be physically running on empty. And we know what it's like to be in our soul, our mind, emotions, and will, to just have so much going on, like your breakers are about to trip and feel like somebody's just stepped on your last nerve and everything's unraveling and it's just, you know, as we'd say here in the South, you just find yourself in a tizzy on the inside. We know what that's like. But primarily, and with that in mind, but in addition, primarily, I'm talking about spiritually running on empty. Because when your spiritual life is right, your soulish life is going to be so much better. And I believe your health will even be better. Because God made us in such a way that each of those components relate to the other. But the true you are a spirit made in the image of God. And you have a soul. That's another immaterial part of you. Your mind. Your mind is different than your brain. Your mind uses your brain, which is a physical organ. And so, and your body, of course, is just a container for your spirit and your soul to live in. And when you die, the container is left here, but your spirit and soul leaves that container and goes somewhere else. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be absent from that container, the body, is to be present with the Lord. Okay? So, but when you're running on empty, how many of you like milkshakes? Yeah, me too. I'll be glad when I can have one again. But how do you know when you get to the bottom? Right? You're sucking on that straw and it's all gone. Well, that's a picture of being empty where the things going on in life is just like sucked and drained the energy and stamina and everything you need. It's, you know, it's like it's been sucked out of you. And so, how do you know when you're close to empty? Because honestly, running on empty is not an accurate phrase. When you're empty, you're not running. I mean, I've had that happen. That motor starts going, and you know, it starts sputtering. You're about to be walking, right? Well, so we're talking about how do you know when you're getting close to running on empty? Well, I'm going to share with you four things quickly here, and then we'll move on to something else. And you could add a long list to this, but these are just some general things. At least for me, in my observation, I think that you find yourself easily irritated. In other words, things start bothering you more than they normally do. It's just, you know, it's just like, I don't know if I can take another brick on this wagon. So you're more easily irritated. Number two, you find yourself wanting to avoid things you normally enjoy. It's like dread moves in and eclipses the delight that you had. And you enjoy coming to church and then you go through this season, next thing you know, well, I really don't want to go. I don't, let's not go out to eat with them tonight. Let's not, you know, I really, going into the third one now, I really don't want to go to work today. You find yourself wanting to escape your responsibilities. And then the fourth thing I've got on my list is the things that normally motivate you are no longer motivating you. Now, running on empty, if you get in that place, you know, you can even become depressed or oppressed. So, nothing really good comes out of running on empty other than it's signaling to you to make a course change. It's like the old Jerry Clower story when that hunter's up in the tree thinking he's going to be knocking out a raccoon and finds out it's a mountain lion up there. It's like, you know, shoot up here and amongst us. One of us has got to have some relief. You know, you kind of get in that place. Something's got to give. Something's got to change. So, that's some answers to the question, how do you know when you're close to empty? And question, why are you running on empty? In other words, if that's the case, then why are you running on empty? What's happened to get you to that place? Well, I've made me another list as I pondered on this. more than likely you've exhausted the resource and energy that you had. You've become depleted. Now, biblically, God says He gives us grace. Grace is the ability and the power that God gives you to do His will. God will give you grace to do what you are supposed to do. He gives you grace to do what's righteous and right. And so, if we're unable to do what we need to do, something's interrupting that flow of grace. All right? And sometimes it's worry that does that. Worry puts you in debt because you are worrying about tomorrow instead of utilizing the grace gives you for the moment. In other words, you're choosing to focus on what hasn't arrived yet that you fear might arrive, and that's causing you not to receive the grace you need to deal with today. Another thing is you fail to replenish yourself spiritually. The Bible is very clear about this. You don't get saved, get hands laid on you one time and pray one prayer, and then live on a full battery just because that happened. Now, because that happened, you have access to all the power, all the help that you will ever need. But you have to avail yourself to that access. You and I have a responsibility to replenish ourselves. The Bible even tells us to stir ourselves up. That makes no sense if you couldn't do it. I shared last Wednesday night about there's times when you just have to preach to yourself. You know, sometimes you may need to get in front of the mirror and say, "Now, self," and just tell yourself what the Word of God says that you need to be doing and receive that. Get a ricochet blessing. Another thing is that maybe you've left your first love. That's, these songs tonight are reminding us of that first love kind of love. Just want to be in your presence. I want to be in your house. That's better than 1,000 days and somewhere else. Just want to be in your presence. I need your peace, your deep love. You know, here I am to worship. That's the intimacy. And we get replenished and nourished. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. It could be that you've kind of put God in the back seat. You know, just maybe not intentionally, but gradually. You've just kind of taken your foot off the accelerator spiritually. Kind of coasting, and it's like God's been relegated to the back seat instead of having a moment-moment dynamic interactive relationship with your Heavenly Father. Could be you have a sin issue and you're not dealing with it and it's gnawing away at you on the inside. I remember my pastor, Dr. Adrian Rogers, when we were living in Memphis while I was in seminary, he made a statement I've never forgotten it, and I've used it many times. He said, a sinner can leap into sin and love it. Because that's their nature. Love it, live it up, and just love it. But a saint, a believer, lapses into sin and loathes it. In other words, if you're saved and you're in sin, there may be a carnal, temporary part where you may be getting some pleasure, but deep inside it's gnawing at you because it's so against who you now are in Christ. The devil works overtime trying to convince you that you haven't been made a new creation in Christ Jesus, but the Holy Ghost of God inside of you is God's down payment. He is the earnest of your inheritance, and He is there to remind you, you can't do that any longer. You're a child of the King. He's there to remind you, hey, Abba, remember who your daddy is. Your daddy's Father God. So, when sin, we got a sin issue that we're not dealing with, it can gnaw at us and we can be convicted. And we know we're just not where we need to be, and still we're trying to peddle and we're still trying to strain and strive and make things right when we really know what's wrong. And we get to where we're running on empty. Our own resources, and it doesn't take long to deplete them. If we're not living by grace, we're not living the God way. Maybe you veered from God's roadmap for your life. That's another reason why you could be on empty. What do you mean, preacher? God created you with a purpose. He's got a plan for your life. It's like a roadmap. And if you're off course, pursuing something other than what He has for you, then it can get you into a place where you're running on empty. Things just aren't right. Well, that's enough of that, so what do you do about it? And this is the part that's really important. Kind of diagnose the situation. Let's talk about the solution. It's simple. Repent and replenish. Repent is not a bad word. Repent simply means change. Literally, in the Greek word for repent or repentance, the root word there is metanoia, nous, which speaks of your mind, meta, which speaks of change. It means to change your mind. Change the way you think about something. Change the way you're living. And it's been aptly described as like making a U-turn while you're going down the road. And to apply it to this message, running on empty, I'm going to make a U-turn. I'm headed back to the service station and get free food filled. So repentance, in this case, if you're running on empty, is your decision to quit doing what you've been doing and start doing what you need to do to replenish your spiritual life. It's irreplaceable. To be a disciple means to be a follower. It also carries the idea of having a discipline. And some of the primary disciplines in the life of a believer are prayer, reading the Scripture, fellowshipping with other believers, being generous, being a servant, and so forth. But prayer and the Bible and learning to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, those are big rocks in the bucket when it comes to growing and cultivating your spiritual life. And it's good to be under teaching of the Word like you are tonight. That's really important. I listen to podcasts so I can get fed. You know, that's important for us all. And so, but that doesn't replace you breaking your Bible open or opening up your device and reading God's Word for yourself devotionally. Now, most of us grew up in church. We probably went to Sunday school classes back in the day, and you had to check boxes as you did your daily Bible reading. And we kind of make light of that now. But let me tell you one thing it did do. It was to encourage you to get into the habit of reading your Bible daily. How many phone calls have you gotten lately where somebody said, hey, I just need to talk to you. I just want to encourage you. I really want you to eat something today. Be sure that you find something to eat. I don't want you to go all day without eating, you know. And I'm going to call you tomorrow to make sure that you're eating something. Now, unless something's really, really wrong, most of us don't have to hire a cheerleader squad to motivate us to eat. Right? We don't. But yet, when it comes to the manna from on high, the honey from the Word, that which will build our spiritual man, we have to be provoked and encouraged and reminded. So I'm reminding you tonight, spend time in God's Word. You need to replenish yourself. Force feeding doesn't work in this instance. This idea of being replenished is kind of like getting a spiritual IV. You know what an IV is when you're in a hospital and you become exhausted dehydrated, what they're going to do? They're going to put a needle in your arm and hook it up to an IV. That IV means intravenous. They're going to put it in your veins so that it will flow through your body and replenish the cells in your body with what they need for you to be healthy and strong. So when we're running on empty, we have to, it's like, okay, this is kind of like, I need a spiritual IV. And you need to be sure you're getting the Word in there and other things that I'm going to be sharing with you in the next few minutes. Billy Graham said this, God renews our lives every day. He gives us a second chance, a third chance, and a millionth chance. He never gives up on us. When you're running on empty, the devil's working overtime trying to convince you it's not worth it. You're not going to make it. You can't live up to it. You'll never change. You've always been this way. That's who you're going to always be. Those are lies from hell. That is the enemy whispering in your ear and trying to railroad your destiny, sidetrack you from God's purpose, and keep you away from the blessing of God on your life. It's really important when you're in a place like that to know, God really does love me. The Word of God is life to me, so I am going to feed on it. And I'm going to pray because I can talk to God about anything. Those are important. Those are big rocks in the bucket, as I said. And you need to realize, C.S. Lewis, I wrote down a quote from him. God does not tell us what to do. I love this quote. God does not tell us what to do. He shows us what to do when we are willing to trust Him. Now, what's the difference in that? One is, if you're not careful, you'll open your Bible and you may just see rules or restraints. But what C.S. Lewis is saying is, God invites you into a relationship. He wants to show you how to live your life, and all you've got to do is just trust Him. And He'll do that as you read the Word. Yes, He's speaking to you and showing you the way, but He wants you to trust Him. He needs that willingness in your heart. So, very practically, again, a little bullet list here. This is very practical to replenish your spiritual life so that you're no longer running on empty. Find a place where you can worship and really reconnect with God. It's probably not going to be sitting in a living room with the television on and the kids playing with their Tinker Toys and everything else going on. You're going to need to find a quiet place where you can take a deep breath and really focus and really receive. Find a place where you can worship and really reconnect God. And what you're doing is you are acknowledging the place that Jesus has in your life. You know, for our marriages to be what they need to be, we need to communicate to our spouse the value that they are to us and the place that they have in our life. And it's not just with some words shouted over our shoulder while we're going to do something we want to do while we neglect them all the time. It's getting along, quiet place, having conversations heart to heart, and developing the relationship. The same way with our Lord Jesus. Number two, spend some time just reading or listening to His Word. And I say reading or listening because a lot of times when I wake up, and I don't want to turn the lights on to disturb anybody, anything like that, you know, you can put your, for those of you who do this, your ear pods in, and you can turn your audio Bible on and just lay there and under the Word of God. Or you can do that even while you're going to sleep. But just spend some time just reading or listening to His Word. Now, I do encourage you when you're reading the Word, don't have that goal in your heart. Well, I need to read at least a chapter. So you're racing to the end of the chapter. You want to be able to check that box. No, you want God to speak to you. You want the life within those words on the page to become deposited in your heart like seed, and you want to continue to water them with the washing of the water of the Word, and they'll begin to take root, and then they'll begin to spring forth and produce in your life. All of a sudden, you'll start seeing manifesting in your life the promises you are reading in the Word. That's the way it works. It's irreplaceable. Nothing can take the place of that. Well, I've read the Word all my life, and I understand you can have a lot of the Word in you. That's good. And when you don't have a Bible handy, you can meditate on the Scriptures that way, and those Scriptures are there for the Holy Spirit to retrieve in situations. That's so important. Number three, have some gut-level talks with God if you've been running on empty. More than likely, you've got some things you need to get off your chest, and God can handle that. Get raw and real and gut-level honest with Him. Lord, I'm not here to inform you of my issues or my problems, but I just need to vent. You know, I'm struggling. Whatever it is, I'm struggling with lust. And Lord, I need your help. I don't like the way it makes me feel. I don't like the place it takes my thoughts. Lord, I'm struggling with wanting to take those pills I don't need to take. I know they've almost wrecked my life, and I'm struggling with that. But these desires are so strong. But Lord, I can do all things through You, Lord Jesus. I need You to help me. I'm struggling, Lord. Be honest with Him. He already knows it. But He invites you into His throne room. And what now what is it you get when you go there? Grace and what? Mercy. When? In your time of need. So, make that trip. And when you get there, be gut-level honest with the Lord. He can handle that. And it will do wonders for you and even your relationship with God. He loves you in the good, the bad, and the ugly. Whatever it is. Lord, I just keep struggling with this anger. I keep struggling with this coveting. I find myself being greedy. Whatever it is. There's a long list of things. And you already know what's on your list. Just like I know what's on my list. All right? So just kind of pop the top on all that stuff and let it out before the Lord. Share it with God. He loves and understands you, and He will help you. That's a lot better than to run from Him and talk with somebody else about it and get into all kind of stuff that glorifies the devil. Sometimes you deciding just to share with God how you really feel can be your first step of drawing near to Him. You're starting a conversation. Fourthly, lay your burden down. We're often carrying things we were never meant to carry. I would encourage you to lay your burden down often. That way they don't pile up on you. Kind of like laundry. You know? Fifthly, soak in His presence. Refusing, now here's the important part. Soak in His presence, refusing and resisting to get up and do something. That's where my warfare often is. When I get along, okay, Lord, I'm just going to spend some time with You, get some worship music going. Forgot to turn this thing off, you know. Or, I need to make that call. Oh, I need to write this down. You know, 1,000 different things will begin piling in your mind that you need to do. And you know what? We don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer to figure out. It's not the Holy Spirit trying to interrupt our time with the Father to get us to do something that won't matter in 5 minutes. Right? It's that carnal nature resisting. Or the enemy trying to get us to resist. So, soak in His presence. Marinate in His mercy. And saturate in His salvation. Now, If you're going to grill your steak, you know, you can marinate it. What's that mean? You know, you pour whatever it is. Some people marinate it in a Coca-Cola or some kind of sauce. What do you do? You put it in there and leave it there. Why? So it can absorb and just soak in what it's put in, the atmosphere. So if you get in an atmosphere of worship, the atmosphere of God's presence, just be like a sponge. Just soak His presence in. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence are pleasures forevermore. This is sometimes our path to victory. A lot of times we can get deliverance and we need it. If we get it, it means we need it, right? Yeah, that's the deliverance. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to follow that by doing the things we need to do to reinforce that victory and fortify the ground that's been gained in our life. Else we'll just give it right back up. And that's where these things come in. Okay, quickly. The sixth thing on my little punch list here is have communion. You know, and as it were, partake of the body and blood of Jesus. You're communing with Him. As you're doing this, it's a practice of celebrating your union with Christ. And I'm telling you, it's one of the most sacred forms of worship, and it's powerful. You can meet Jesus around that communion, and that can help replenish you. Number seven, simply ask Him to refill you with His Holy Spirit. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, ask for that. If you have, ask for a fresh infilling, a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what we do with our car when it runs on empty? We find some place to... And back in the old... Some of you young people may not even know this was a reality, possibility. Back in the old days, you pull into a service station and somebody actually came up to your car. All you had to do was sit there like a big daddy, roller... Well, that's back before you could push a button and you went... You had to do... You may not know that either. You had to do this to roll your window down. They'd come up, you'd say, fill her up. And they'd pump your gas for you. So, when you're soaking, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up. Fill me up, Lord. There's one of our songs we sing, fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. And then, lastly, choose to rejoice in your present circumstance. Well, that don't make sense. What do you mean? I'm running on empty and you want me to rejoice in the middle of that? Yes, and here's why. When you choose to rejoice in the Lord in the middle of that, you know what it does? It strengthens you. And that's what you need when you're running on empty. The Bible says in the book of Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So these will work if you work them. These truths are helpful if you allow them to help you. So, it's amazing how time in God's presence and an encounter with God's presence can change everything. A lot of us know Heidi Baker. Mighty woman of God. You know, after Heidi Baker came and ministered at our church years ago, I felt like I knew what Jesus would look like in a woman's suit. I mean, it's just amazing the anointing on her life. Her testimony was she had lived as a Christian, she was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the age of 16. She had spent time on the mission field in Asia, in the inner city in London, and then God sent her to Mozambique, the most impoverished nation on earth for a number of years. Saw very little fruit, not much was happening. She was invited in 1994 to come speak at Toronto at a revival that was going on up there. Rather than tell you the story, I'm going to read her words. Quote, she says, I was so exhausted and empty when I went to the Toronto meeting. I had been working hard in Mozambique, and I was feeling like I was running on empty. But when I arrived at the meeting, I was immediately overwhelmed by the presence of God. I felt like I was being filled with the Holy Spirit in a new way. I began to speak and preach with a power and authority that I had never experienced before. I also began to experience miracles and healings at the meeting. I saw people who were deaf and dumb healed. I saw people who were lame walk. I also saw people who were demon-possessed delivered. The Toronto meeting was a turning point in my ministry. It was a time when I was refreshed and revived. God filled me with His Holy Spirit and gave me the power to do things that I never thought possible. I am so grateful for the Toronto meeting, and I believe that it was a divine encounter that changed my life forever. And I can testify tonight, and there's others in this room that can testify. We watched God use that woman, and we saw one person after the other being healed, filled with the Holy Spirit, refreshed, their lives turned around because of the presence and power of God that was flowing. That's the message tonight. I ask you to stand with me, and I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come forward that are assigned for tonight, and if you're staff leaders, if you're here tonight, you want someone to pray with you, they are here. If you need refresh tonight, if you feel like you've been running on empty, these altars, you can come and kneel at these altars, and we'll just let you and God have a good time. If you need us, just hold your hand up and somebody will pray for you. You can respond right where you are tonight. If God's dealing with you and you'd like to talk to somebody and you may not have time tonight, fill out that card in the back of the pew. If there's different decisions that you can let us know that you want to make, and we'll be glad to get with you and talk with you about that. We're going to begin to worship and just ask you if this is something you need tonight, if the Holy Spirit is moving inside of you and stirring you, take that step of faith. Who knows what might happen if you yield to what God wants to do in your heart and your life tonight. So Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, have your way. Lord, may there be a refreshing, a stirring up, a filling up of our tanks, so to speak. May cups overflow tonight. May renewed joy, renewed strength, renewed passion, renewed desire, replenishing, a rekindling occur tonight. May there be the laying down of burdens, the turning away from sin, the yielding of our will for your will. Oh, Jesus, fill this room with your love tonight. Fill this room with your power tonight. We acknowledge you are Lord. We declare we are helpless without you, Jesus. Lord, without your grace, we're weak and fragile and incapable of anything. But you're the God of all grace. May your grace abound. Where sin may abound, may your grace abound even more tonight. Lord, where there's weakness, may strength arise tonight. Where there's depression, may joy arise tonight. Oh Lord, have your way in the hearts of your people in this room tonight. Touch those who may not know you. I just encourage you to receive right now. Just get into place. Begin to ask God to stir your heart. Say, Lord, that's me. I want my tank filled up. I want to be refilled. You know, you may not be running on empty, but why settle for half a tank when it can be full? Ask the Lord for a fresh infilling. Just press into that. You come up if you need prayer right now. We're going to begin to worship. Have your way, Lord. Anyone, you come. I'm going to dismiss you in just a few moments. I want you to come if the Lord's beckoning you to come.